Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Hey, it's Ben Vanel here, pumped to talk about video games, to have a conversation with people, real humans for the first time in... Mm-hmm. Oh my God, nigh on 7 days. Can you tell?
Wow. Wow. It's exciting stuff. The lockdown is ending soon in Melbourne, but we are still not allowed to go to each other's houses. So it's going to be at least another week of this afterwards. Adam Knox is with us, by the way.
Hi, I talked to someone yesterday, but I've got a naturally awkward disposition.
I'm house hunting at the moment, and rental inspections are back on as of tomorrow. And Ben, you had the suggestion that maybe we could just record the podcast at a rental inspection. Yes. If the three of us just turn up with the gear and just sit in the second bedroom going like, I'm going to need an hour in here just to really know if I want to apply for this place.
I brought in my own baffling. Do you mind if I put that up before I move in?
I've got 100 Funko Pops in the car. I'm going to have to organize them in this room just to sort of see if it's going to suit my needs.
Yeah, I like the place. Can you show me where the man cave is? Good throne, looking at the toilet.
Someone who I'm sure is spending a lot more time in his man cave at the moment is the creator of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah.
Nights into Dreams and Balan Wonderland, Yuji Naka. He's been let go from Square Enix after presumably the performance of that game.
Mm. Yes, I think he left, but like, you know, he left... because several people were holding the door wide open for him, is the way it seems.
Yeah, the door was open. They kicked me out of it, but I did that of my own accord. I let them boot me in the ass out of the door.
As they were holding me by the top of my shirt and my belt and about to fling me out, I quickly said, "You can't find me, I quit!" before I hit the ground, and that counts. By the way, I'm sitting in my bedroom to record currently because there's heaps of wind outside and this is a place I can get away from the wind. And I've noticed there's a bit of an echo in here. So if it sounds like there's a reverb on me, it's because I'm in my my bedroom here and my sound is reverberating off of all of the disgusting cum-filled tissues.
Surely that should absorb about the sound.
Those tissues can't absorb any more than they already have.
They've crystallized. They become a reflective surface.
Yeah, they're more like crystals at this point. It's like standing in a proper cave. They're like
a room of mirrors.
No, it's very clean. I just cleaned it earlier.
Was it the riff about the sound baffling that kind of made you, you know, sort of reassess your own situation at the moment and go, hang on a minute, there's no egg cartons on the walls in this bedroom?
I'm not in my normal homemade podcast studio, which my wife left me over. So I'm just having to do it in here. It's a fucking awful, awful weather at the moment. Real sort of weather that makes you want to sit down, buckle down, and watch some E3 and play some Ratchet and stuff. I'm stoked for this coming weekend. But
me too.
Yuji Naka got the boot, and he said that he's considering retirement now. So, you know, a legendary figure, I guess, because Sonic got popular, but... you could make a pretty good argument that he's never made a good game.
It's a shame. I like those original Sonic games, and you're right. Like he created this character that has this, he's like a huge part of culture. And if he is to retire off the back of this game, it's a shame. It's a shame to go out on something that is, yeah, I think, as do many other people, an absolute stinker. But yeah, maybe he just kind of got lucky with the success of Sonic.
Yeah, it'd be like us ending the podcast after a Zoom episode.
Going out on top.
People holding the door open for us, being like, there's not a lot of room for talking over each other here. There's plenty of podcasts that do
we've
that
actually
already.
Put all your stuff in a cardboard box for you. Just, you can go. Just out, yeah.
Yeah. What's our equivalent of Sonic that we're clinging to? Like, no, that episode where Adam pretended to be a bunch of different callers on the phone. We did that. We did that. Yeah, yeah. We have a legacy. Give us another chance.
Yeah. Remember when me and Ben had to record one on a phone?
That's our Nights Into Dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. Critically acclaimed, but, you know, didn't sell as well. Yeah, it's a, I think he's, every article I've read, he's like listed as the programmer of Sonic. Did he literally create the character, or is he like the guy who made the game?
I think he designed the character.
Right.
It was probably in some way collaborative, but he's definitely the dude who like is, at least for Sonic Team, like the sort of head dude.
Right.
And has been for a bit. Maybe not for original Sonic, but certainly by the time it was like the Dreamcast and da-da-da.
Right.
I'd have to...
Well, even, I mean, the creation of Sonic 2 is kind of like I said before, obviously, massive cultural figure, character. Yep. But the design of it and the origins of it were deliberately to, you know, we've got to have something that can take on Nintendo. So, like, the origins of it are this kind of, like, by committee thing that is kind of born out of, like, I guess, like, corporate competitiveness, you know, rather than someone who's like a bit of an auteur or a completely original creator going like, hey, I've got this like fantastic idea for a character that's completely unique and original. It was designed as like a bit of a fuck you.
Mm.
And the character was designed as a fuck you by Naoto Oshima. That was the person who originally designed Sonic. So Naoto's given made more people horny than a trumpet salesman by drawing Sonic.
He's the Matt Groening and Yuji Naka's the Sam Simon who
exactly
fleshed it all out.
Yeah. And then there's another guy. Hirokazu Yasuhara is the James L. Brooks, gave it the heart. Nah, he created the stages, actually. So yeah. I don't know. He's the background heart. Designer.
Those loop the loops, they're the heart of heart of Sonic, if
that's
you ask me.
That's true.
Who created blast processing? That's like the 20th century. That's the Fox Searchlight. Whatever. I don't know enough about The Simpsons to... Sam Simon worked on Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can find out all about the history of Sonic the Hedgehog by downloading our Sonic the Hedgehog special on Bandcamp. I had to go to our website to remind myself whether or not that existed or I just dreamed that it did.
Clearly we retained all the information from that as well by having a, I'm sure, look at this Wikipedia page for Sonic for the second time in my life.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. But I guess,
shame to go out on the thing that was meant to be your comeback, you know?
Yeah.
Like, imagine
I like
if,
his kind of character design. I like his, I never played Knights, but I've always kind of liked the aesthetic of it. I think it looks kind of cool and vibey, and I really wanted to like Balan Wonderland. I thought this could be cool. I love a 3D platformer, but my God, it felt shit to play. I cannot stress enough how much of a just shitty experience it was, in a way that makes you go, I don't understand how this got out the door. This isn't just a personal taste thing. It felt fucking bad. I don't know how anyone who worked on that could have thought that they were churning out something of good quality.
It's been a long time since I've seen a game that was that universally disliked. There don't seem to be any defenders of it going like, oh, no, actually, if you get into this bit or change your controls to here, it actually is pretty good. But Balan, Wonderland, it was one of them had the Berenstain Bears effect. The Berenstain Bears. Like... my porridge is too hot. My fucking porridge.
I swear to God, we've had this exact conversation every time we've talked about this game. I think we've
that
had to Google it to
universe.
Find out which one is which.
Nah, you're misremembering that.
I don't think we had the Berenstain Bears last time, though, so that's a nice new wrinkle.
I don't like him.
But yeah, anyway, that's a shame.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of fucked up buggy games, actually, did you see that thing of how, like, the development team of Cyberpunk before it released had, like, an internal video going around that was, like, a compilation of all of the glitches and bugs and shit that they knew were in it? So, like, I guess that's how it got out the door, because the people making the game don't necessarily have a say. And even though he would have been a producer or something, like, just a game has to come out at some point.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's internal video has been leaked and done the rounds and made just when people thought they couldn't be any more angry at Cyberpunk, something like this comes along and just fires them up all over again.
I can speak from experience that it can be a very traumatic experience to have an internal video go viral. That colonoscopy footage that got leaked of mine, boy howdy. you don't want to see a leaky colonoscopy footage. Bear and steam bears, maybe.
Didn't you have a viral video? Your viral video was man takes a photo, one photo of his colon.
Mildly viral. The viral load was low on that one. That was a H1N1, not a
right. I mean, all the talk. About Cyberpunk and CD Projekt Red has been that the developers, like the people making the game, knew all along the scope was too big. They, you know, wanted to delay it even further. I'm pretty sure that's come out as well. Like, we don't want to release this game yet. We don't want to release it on consoles, certainly. Like, they wanted to release it on PC, like, in another year. And it being leaked speaks to the fact that, well, not the fact, it speaks to the potential that they're still being sort of terms are being dictated by the people looking at the money rather than the people looking at the creative output, you know, like,
and that
they're
money,
working on the game still, they're trying to fix it, they're trying to patch it and release, they'll have to release DLC at some point because they, you know, said that they would, and they have the Witcher and stuff, but it sounds like they're probably still being told what to do by people who don't have a reasonable grasp of the timeline.
That money as well is significantly lower. There were reports of, like, not exactly how much they made, but that their, like, Q1 earnings were way, way, way less than projected for Cyberpunk. Not being able to buy it on a PlayStation probably contributes to that.
But yeah, like, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the source code got leaked for that game and for The Witcher 3, like, enhanced edition for the new consoles and stuff. So maybe that video came out of those leaks. I'm not sure if it was, like, leaked by someone there who was, like, look at what happened, but it's a fucking, it must be a nightmare to be in charge of anything over there at the moment.
Yeah.
Or to be under charge, you know.
Yes, totally.
Last week I was jizzing my little pants over Jason Schreck's book, Blood, Sweat and Pixels, which I've since finished, and I'm now onto his next book, Press Reset, which is about game development companies and how they, just basically how game development you can have a big game come out that's very successful, and then sometimes still within 6 months the company is shut down. It's about these, like, failures in game development, then how certain people leave to go start their own thing. So it talks about a lot about Warren Spector and the teams that made BioShock and all this kind of stuff. And it is fascinating, and that's a big thing that you learn is, like, yeah, that the money that dictates everything, where often these guys that are working on the game know that they can't get it done in this time and they have to go and, like, beg to get more time. But if it's got to come out in this fiscal year for this company to have their stock price not be fucked over, there's not a lot that can be done about it. But the big thing that I've been thinking while I've been reading these two books, that just, you know, it's each chapter is just like a story about a different game. All I can think is that Jason Schreck's next book, I wouldn't be surprised if it's all about Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Because it's like every game that just has like one little chapter where it's like one little thing like this happening in the development of that game, Cyberpunk has had like all of them in some way or another. It's had like every issue you could possibly have, and like hearing the actual team at some point talk about this, if they're ever ready to, would just be fascinating, because a lot of the time the public-facing perception of this story is that, yeah, people love to think that there's some kind of nefarious thing at play where the company has done this deliberately to fuck them over. Like, you know, you saw it with Sean Murray and stuff. But, yeah, you read these books and you just get much more of an insight into, like, they're hamstrung by a lot of other forces and they can't even publicly say what's going on for whatever reason.
Making a video game seems like it's the hardest thing in the world to do.
Yeah.
It seems seems like it's impossible to do it.
Well, I mean, people talk about art by committee, right? And how that often leads to things being watered down, you know, not being as good as a unique, cohesive vision. And, like, video games are art by a committee of 1,000 people in the case of these blockbuster games. Like, it would be... It's not just fighting against the financial pressures and the timelines. It's also just the day-to-day, you know, difficulties of teamwork leading to something that everyone's proud of. Like, it's hard.
A big budget movie, people are always like, whoa, imagine making a movie. But imagine making a movie and then everything you filmed the day before, the next day suddenly doesn't work.
Right.
And you don't know why and no one can fix it and you've just got to remake it or, you know, like... It's way harder than being a mother.
I'm the Berenstain Bears. Being a mother ain't that hard.
I mean, I've worked in corporate stuff for, up until a few months ago, like most of my professional career. And like there are so few things that I made, because I worked as a creative in corporate environments. There are so few things that I produced during that time that I'm actually proud of, because it's all hamstrung by limited timelines, limited notice, lack of budget, and people higher up having opinions that are not informed by like being a creative person. And it just never leads to things you're 100% proud of.
Yeah. You're right, Adam. They talk a lot in this book about, they use the metaphor of making a game is like making a movie where you're also building the camera as you're filming the film, right?
Right.
So people come in and they're like, all this work they've done, they're like, oh, so we've updated and we've changed and sort of like fixed and made better the software that you were using to make this game. And they're like, well, that now means that all the stuff that we've made so far isn't properly running in this engine that you've now updated.
Right.
Like, we're fucked. We're back to square one.
Maybe.
And also
maybe
the writing of it too. Like, the actual narrative stuff is happening parallel to the, like, the actual gameplay mechanics.
Maybe that's what happened with that Wes Anderson. What's that film called? Fucking Habbo Hotel. What's the hotel movie that he made?
Grand Budapest
Hotel? Maybe that's what happened. That's why it's all in different aspect ratios, because he kept
right.
So it's like every game is Grand Budapest Hotel, but you meant for all of it to run in 16:9.
Right. Mm. No, I like the Grand Budapest Habbo Hotel. It's a much better
just
film.
A bunch of like much, much older men hitting on children, but centered in the frame.
Yeah. What about this? The Grand Budapest Hotel Quarantine. Is that something?
Oh, now we're talking mad TV sketches.
Yeah.
Now we're going for it.
I like following that original line. I'm looking forward to his new one, The French Club Penguin Dispatch.
Bottle
Rocket League. Bottle Rocket League.
Yes.
Fuck. No, I've got... Just give me 3 seconds. And I'm going to... Fucking
Zerg Rushmore.
What's the Dog Island one called?
You just basically
No, you've got to figure this. You figure this out yourself.
Yeah.
The Dog Island one, but they're Neopets instead. Fucking end the episode.
Isle of Neopets.
Yeah, there you go.
What's the Dog Island one called? It's called Isle of Dogs. You were so close. You had all the right words.
The version that was translated into Russian, and over there it translates as the Dog Island.
Right.
That's
yeah, in Russia, the dogs put you on a trash island. Had to completely reshoot the film. Didn't make any sense.
Bring those back. Bring those jokes back.
Yeah.
Mm, totally.
In Soviet Russia. People still like those jokes.
But yes, a lot of big corporate stuff can be very bad for games. But during the week, we got a presentation from still relatively small studio. A company called, are they just called Panic Games?
Yeah, maybe just Panic. I'm not sure.
Yes, I think they're just Panic. They announced a little while ago now, a few years ago now, a new little handheld console that they have been developing called the Playdate. It's yellow. It's got a little crank on the side of it that will be used for some of the games. And they announced that this would be launching with a kind of like a season of 12 games that you would get included in the cost of the unit that would sort of be delivered to you wirelessly. It's a little black and white screen. And they haven't really said it. There haven't been any updates on it for a little while. They did a presentation during the week where they sort of showed off a bit more about what it is. They announced that they are now working on double the amount of games for it. So it's a subscription-based thing where it's two games per week for 12 weeks that are just delivered over Wi-Fi to the console, and you're not going to know what they are before you get them. So they're kind of like a complete surprise little thing. And yeah, this trailer was, or this presentation was just so, like, seemed like it was so clearly made by a team of people who are still very much gamers, aren't out of touch with what people who play games want to see out of these kinds of presentations. It felt like a bit of a response to people who've been burnt by some underwhelming, you know, Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo presentations, because it was just so nicely put together and gave such a good impression of what this thing is and was just delivered with so much enthusiasm that I thought the presentation looked great, and I think the console looks fucking awesome. I'm so excited to pre-order one of these. What did you guys think?
I think it looks fantastic. It's not the kind of thing that I would jump on probably normally. I think the crank looks cool. It's like an analog controller, basically. But what got me the most interested is the fact that Lucas Pope, who developed Papers, Please and Return of the Obra Dinn, is releasing his next game on this. He's releasing a game called Mars After Midnight, I think is the name of it.
Really?
And
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I believe, exclusive to this console. And yeah, man, I fucking love his games. Papers, Please, I came to a little late.
Yeah.
But conceptually was awesome, great idea. And I've been playing Return of the Obra Dinn this week, and it's amazing. It's the best detective game that's ever been made if you genuinely want to figure stuff out. So that's a really, that's the main thing that makes me really interested to get this console.
And so that game is made in the style of this screen, so he's like the perfect fit for this little console,
Yeah.
I think I'm the same as Ben as well, where I normally wouldn't be interested in something like this, but the way that they put together that presentation, just like, hey, here's exactly what it is, and we know it's a bit stupid, but it's just meant to be a fun little goofy thing that you muck around with, like, it is really appealing, and it's made, the actual hardware, by Teenage Engineering, who is a company who made, like, my dream synthesizer thing called an OP1.
Right.
And look up some videos of that fucking thing on YouTube, because it is so cool. That little, it's like a little synthesizer that's good for like looping and mashing stuff up. It's a really, really cool machine.
Sick.
It's way too expensive
cool
for me to ever own one. But the little dock thing that they showed off as well, it like really sums up what this thing, what the like the ethos behind this thing is, because the dock is like a Bluetooth speaker and a pen holder.
Yes.
Right. So, like, and they kicked off the presentation with that, which again was so like, it felt to me like a bit of a tongue-in-cheek. This is maybe giving it too much credit, but like a bit of a comment on these kind of presentations of like, they always kick off with something like a bit dumb and a bit sort of like unnecessary, but that you're still kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. And at the start of it I was like, oh, here we go, is this presentation just going to be all about this weird dock thing? But yeah, look, like having it as a little desk like a little mounted clock thing
with
a little pen, and they were like, here's five cool things it can do, and one of them was a pen holder, and they're like, and we're going to ship it with a free pen. It was like, this is just absurd, but I love it. Like
two little pen buckets as well. You get one pen, two buckets, so you can put your own pen in there. And then it's got the first app that they're putting on it is a port of, it's an iPhone app. I cannot remember the fucking name of it for the life
of me
right
Poolside
now.
It's called Poolside
FM. Yeah. I've had it's huge like problems streaming with names today for some reason. Crummy. But
it's like a streaming radio station sort of thing.
Yeah. I had it on my phone for a minute there, and it's really cool. It's just got a really nice playlist of like chill I guess you'd call them like synthwave or whatever. It's one of those sort of things where they have like the fake 80s aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Having that thing pumping out those songs on your desk with a nice little clock on it.
Yeah.
I'm in. And with these, the way they're doing it, like, so you get the first season like as part of buying the unit itself, right? And then seemingly other seasons after that will be like a second subscription or whatever.
A second fee. Yeah, so that's the impression I get. They haven't really said too much beyond this first season and that it's 12 weeks. There'll be some little surprises. They showed off some little snippets of a bunch of the games and they all, you know, they all look pretty different and pretty cool and like these interesting little indie experiences. But I even loved the way that they rolled out Lucas Pope to show off his game where he basically, and again, this is when I say that it seems like it's made by people who've been burnt by some of these, the disappointment of being a fan and watching these bigger corporate presentations, where Lucas Pope's on there going, the transparency where he's like, I don't even really know what this is yet, but here's like here's just a minute of me playing it. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of all I've got at the moment. I don't really know what else I'm doing, but I'll figure it out. When, you know, any other bigger company would go, well, we can't show it until it's completely fully formed. But they get that people, gamers just want to see, they just want to see something. They want to see even just a little morsel and get excited by it. Like, it doesn't have to be a fully fleshed out trailer.
They've got the other half where they're like, if you don't want spoilers for what these games are going to be, then like even on their website, you can click a button that'll just turn all the screenshots of the games into question marks, which I think is really cool because part of the fun of it seems to be getting that little surprise. And it's got built in like developer support stuff. So you can make your own games for it as well.
Yeah. It's sort of an unlocked game system, right? I was trying to figure out if that was sort of an official thing, but you can just sort of like, not as a developer, as a consumer, just like pop stuff on it and
make
and
your own
see
shit.
If it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I'm with you. It looks really cool.
Yeah. I think design-wise as well, like, I know this is dumb, but it looks good as an alarm clock. Like, you know, like
it's not dumb at all.
A designer website, like, you know, like the MoMA shop or whatever, and look at a sick looking clock that costs $200. Like, this does that and plays games. So I'm just
and hold
I,
your pen. Yeah. Don't forget
and,
that.
Sorry, yes, you hold your pen too. And the pen looks cool that they give you, so I'm all in.
They haven't said when pre-orders will happen yet, so it seems kind of, because everything's all shortagey at the moment. They were very open about like pre-orders will be up sometime, I think in July. And then
they said,
the plan is not to cut off pre-ordering, but basically every pre-order will put you in a position in the queue and they'll ship them out as they get them. So it could be a bit of a fuck, you know, because everything is at the moment with technology being involved. But yeah, it looks really cool.
But
no
again,
backlight
I thought
for
it was
like a Game Boy.
I thought it was so nice that they were just completely transparent about that. They were like, there might be holdups. We're going to do our best, but we're not going to cut you off. We're not going to just open pre-orders. We're going to give you a week's notice. And one other thing that's worth mentioning too is that they, I think this is the only part of the presentation that we haven't covered yet, is that they said that they have they've set up a new little studio of that is comprised predominantly or exclusively of marginalized voices was what they were saying. So to sort of give a bit of front and center to some creators that have, you know, traditionally not had front and center kind of placement in projects that they've worked on. So again, that is a really cool kind of forward thinking and very progressive and admirable kind of thing to prioritize in making this little thing, which you know, you wouldn't think for a lot of other people would even think to have it as a priority. But I thought just everything about this presentation, from how it looked and everything, was just, they knocked it out of the park. It was fucking,
very cool. And then also kind of funny to be like, guess what? You get to be front and center now on this little yellow Game Boy with a crank.
It'd be great. The marginalized voices, the game that they create on it, it's like you turn the crank and it's that old thing where it just like flips the bird on
the
screen.
The middle finger.
Yeah, fuck you all. Where were you 10 years ago?
I think with the delay stuff, at least they're not trying to ship these with, you know, GeForce fucking 3070s. Like, hopefully it's not as big of an issue as like a PS5 or whatever, but... looks awesome.
I'm in there day one as soon as I can pre-order. Yep. I'm hopping straight on I'm fucking really excited. And just I also, yeah, I we've sort of glossed over like the main thing of what it is, but I just love the idea of once a week you pick up this thing and it's just got two brand new things on it that you don't know what they're going to be yep. until you open them up. I think that's such a fucking neat idea. And yeah, it's like basically almost a quarter of the year worth of regular content that you're getting on it. I think that's, mm-hmm. and I like in the trailer that they're like, some of the games you'll like, some of them you won't. That's fine. Like, I like that use yeah. of language.
That's life. That's yeah. life, baby. Well, it's a game yeah. that I don't know if any of us will like. I certainly wasn't that into the trailer. Was DICE and EA's new Battlefield game entitled Battlefield 2042.
Yeah. Mm. It's it looks so they didn't show any gameplay of it at no. all. The trailer was all just sort of Battlefield shit happening in a cinematic thing. Yeah, it's people jumping out of planes and shooting rocket launchers and there's a big weather effect is their new thing. There's like dynamic weather that'll come through and maybe tear up the map that weirdly they came out and said wasn't political. The climate catastrophe stuff is not a political comment. It is just yeah. gameplay, which seems like a strange thing to qualify. But yeah, it's set in 2042, which...
Just quickly, I'll be 66.
I'll be...
65. I'll be 65.
Fuck. I don't know what I'll be.
You'll be 63. Honestly.
What are we now? 21? 62. So I'm 30.
60, so I'll be 62.
I'm 21, yeah.
No, I won't. I won't be in my 60s by then. I'll be in my 50s. Won't I?
I'll be 69.
I was 10 in 99, 20 in 2009, 30 in 19,
oh, yeah,
40
in
29,
just 50, add 31 onto what 39. You are now.
Yeah, I'll be in my 50s. We'll all be in our 50s.
Yeah, it's only 21 years away. It's not 31.
Listen,
years
in
away.
21 it's years, 20? You come back to me
oh,
and
yeah.
you tell me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right.
We'll settle
yeah.
this in two decades. Because the yeah. time between now and 2042 is about the same amount of time as between now and when the original Battlefield 1942 came out.
Mm.
Right. Is this another Berenstain Bears thing or is this just me being bad at maths? I'd love...
the latter. <Yeah. laughs> It's definitely the latter.
I'd love to pin it on some kind of big sociological thing, but I think I'm out of luck.
Back before the universe is split, 10 used to be 20. So you got it right.
There's a world out there where you're not a fucking idiot.
I remember Tommy as being called Coca-Cola and he also wasn't a dumbass.
So yeah, they crammed this trailer full of like Battlefield memes, like you said, Nox, the jumping out of the airplane yeah. and shooting the rocket launcher. There's like a dumb remix of, I think it's Kickstart My Heart playing in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it a dumb remix?
It fucking sucks. it's
awful.
So bad.
I also had the thought the entire way through this trailer of like 2042 seems like it's too far in the future for what is happening in this trailer. This looks like, because they have one of those fucking Boston Dynamics robot dogs. It's like, that's going to be the next war that we're in. That could be 3 years from now. That was the main thing I thought from this trailer.
Right.
2042 isn't that far away, though. We'll only be in either our 50s or 60s. Who's to know? So, yeah, it yeah. is like a near future.
We might
same
be 21. I don't know.
I'm up for playing another Battlefield game. They're goofy and they're fun. Right. And I don't know if this is exactly what I was... So they've said they're ditching single player campaign stuff and like Battle Royale things. It's just traditional Battlefield. Mm. It seems as though from all the... There's been some kind of leaky stuff come out about it that it's like in the style of Battlefield like 3
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Or there was 2142 that was a futuristic one. But like traditional... Now, old-fashioned Battlefield where it's just multiplayer, there's lots of people in there and you're taking zones yeah. and doing ridiculous shit, which could be fun.
That was my favorite. That's the one that I've sunk, like, that's probably the multiplayer shooter that I've put the most time into. I loved Battlefield 3. Those great, yeah, like rolling hills, getting in a tank, seeing the entire map, you know, in front of you and... like good progression, good weapon unlock stuff. Like I genuinely, yeah, enjoyed that game.
So that's the big difference again now with any multiplayer game these days, is that you're paying for the season content, you're paying for the full game itself at the start, unless you've got like a subscription to the EA Plus thing, which maybe right. means Game Pass will have it too. It's so confusing exactly how much money they're going to ask you for if you were to play this game for 6 months. You know what I mean? So
yeah, right. Interesting. Because I've got EA Play. That is part of the PC Game Pass and I assume normal Game Pass. I'm also not sure what that entitles me to. So, yeah. That's...
I think only some stuff from Origin comes into it, because there was a period of time where, like you know, you didn't get the new Mass Effect from it, I don't think. Right. So, I'm not sure. it's deliberately confusing, because the way that microtransactions work is they don't want you to quite be aware of how much money you're spending at any given time on the one right, product. Right. So... that's the bit that I'm, you know, expecting to be turned off of this game from. But old-fashioned, the kind of Battlefield, you know, 10 years plus ago style gameplay, yeah, it might be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always preferred it to Call of Duty.
It's cool that they are, you know, kind of occupying different spaces, weirdly, even though on the surface they are very similar. You know what else is similar? This year, to years past, before 2020, because E3's right. back, baby.
Oh, yes.
That's it. Yeah, this is the last episode. By the time next time you hear us, all the presentations will have happened. So we thought we would take the back end of this episode to do a bit of speculation, throw out some wild predictions, and, yeah, just chat through the presentations that are coming up next week. And talk about what we're all excited for. And yeah, apologies if you're listening to this, you know, well after the fact of E3. You can have an extra good old chuckle at how presumably completely fucking wrong we've been.
If you're listening to this in 2042, you can look at a 50-whatever-year-old Tommy and be like, and now your mind has decayed even more. Yeah. Tommy be like, what? Right.
Hunt me down. Hunt me down and go, how old are you today? Because I've got to settle a bet with you from a podcast from 2021.
We've all got, I think, 5 different sort of predictions here. Mm-hmm. They're pretty, I don't know, mine are like midfield. I think, Tommy, yours are a bit far field. I don't know about yours, Ben. But these are not so much what we think will happen, but what we would get excited by if we saw happen, right?
Yes, that's certainly the perspective I've taken. What do I wish will happen? And that is completely divorced from whether or not I think it's likely.
I also wish for a divorce. So, yeah, well, we're all on the same page. Let me tell
you, it's very likely. So
I'm starting up a second podcast studio in my house to just seal the deal. I'm going to have 3 man caves.
Who wants to
kick us off?
Well, Tommy and I both asked, so that means Adam has to go first. Yeah.
Okie dokie. I can go first, and I say we go Ben and then Tommy.
All right.
Keep going in that loop, because that's the orientation that my Zoom windows are set up in.
Sweet.
I'll start with the thing that I think is the most likely to happen, but that would also probably make me... is also probably the thing I want to see the second most out of my list.
Okay. All right.
So it's
not the least,
an obvious one to start with.
Yeah. Sweet.
I want to see Elden Ring.
Ooh.
I honestly don't think it'll show up again this year. I think it probably won't be there still. It seems like that is taking them a while, and... they have been very cagey about it, barely saying anything. Elden Ring, if you don't remember, is the FromSoft, their next game after, you know, Bloodborne and Sekiro and Dark Souls and all of those. It's those people. Next one's called Elden Ring. There was like a leaked trailer at some point earlier this year that showed some stuff that was like an internal thing from quite a while ago, but they've never properly shown actual footage of this game, I believe. There was like one kind of cinematic trailer, but they've never shown the game being played. And I want to see Elden Ring. I want to play Elden Ring. And I want them to change the name so I don't have to keep feeling embarrassed every time I say Elden Ring.
Is Elden Ring the game that George R.R. Martin was supposed to be writing the background for? The lore?
That's the one.
Yeah.
And weirdly, this game has taken a lot longer than people thought it would and has kind of not been gotten a lot of information about.
The final chapter is going to suck. It's going to be... Actually, no, he didn't write the final chapter of the show, did he?
No, he never will, but...
yes.
The game itself, yeah, is FromSoft Cross with some lore stuff from George R.R. Martin, and I just want to play more games that they make because I'm a big fan of all of them.
Well, guess what? I'm going next, and it's fucking perfect because one of my wish list predictions, revelations for E3 is Elden Ring is announced or revealed and is said to include a fucking easy mode. That's my wish list E3 reveal. Elden Ring has difficulty settings to let little babies like me be able to play it.
Yep. Yep.
My wish list is that you both would get good at video games. That's on my wish list for E3, that you fucking grow up and play too many video games like me.
But, I mean, like, obviously, I assume their sales are fine. You know, all of their games have done okay. But if you revealed that Elden Ring, a game that, yeah, is going to wrap in this huge cultural sort of figure, George R.R. Martin, if it has difficulty settings, people can still play it on hard. But I really wanted to play through Demon's Souls. I wanted to play through Sekiro. And, you know, like, I just wasn't good enough. I want an easy mode.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ben. I know this is a very, very, like, controversial topic for the people who love these games, as I understand it. They're very vehement that, no, that's the whole point.
Mm.
And, of course, yeah, the counter-argument to that is that you can still play it in the way that you want to play it. And we're starting to see this more and more, these accessibility options and this idea of difficulty being less about an option at the start where it says, you know, we'll go easy on you and we'll, you know, the game will be a bit, you'll just like breeze through it. And it just being a bit, you know, the stigma feels like it is being taken away a lot in the sense of difficulty and also just general accessibility. Like,
sure.
As I understand it, the new Ratchet & Clank has, like, a massive, massive submenu of, like, accessibility options in terms of, like, visibility and stuff and people who can't see the screen as well. You can make it so that certain stuff is just... You can make it so that the backgrounds are just grey and then the main character is just, like, bright red on the screen.
Last of Us 2 last year had that sort of stuff in it as well. And you could definitely do it in this game. The one thing that I think is the consideration for it is that it is meant to be like an online game, but you could make it so that a character you started in easy mode could just never go online. And then
absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think they'll ever do it because I think they're too beholden to that very, very deep core fan base who I think would, unfortunately, and incorrectly, I should say, I think they would view that as like a massive, massive betrayal of what they like about these games. So I'm with you. I hope that happens, but it's something about just makes me think that...
There's no reason not to include it in an offline mode other than... I think those games are a little bit still in that thing of like, you know how games when they even would have an easy mode would call it like, you're a fucking pussy mode.
Yeah. Yes, and then, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good call. Why not? I'll still play it in man can size mode, but you can play it in whatever you want.
Have normal mode still be hard. You know, have normal mode be as hard as all the other games are. Have an that would be the way to frame it, but...
Some kind of concession. It almost feels like it would take another company to make a game that is basically a rip-off of that genre or doing their version of that game and them have it in it and get a lot of praise and massive sales off the back of it. Something like that would have to happen from another party to make From Software go, all right, there's something in this. We could probably look into this as well. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm baby. Here's my one. I reckon the Microsoft show. Very interested to see what they've got coming down the pipeline. My big prediction and something that I would love to see happen. I think that after seeing the response a couple of years ago that these characters got when they were revealed as playable in Smash Brothers. I reckon Microsoft have called up Rare and gone, listen, cunts, you're making a new Banjo-Kazooie, whether you fucking want to or not.
Tommy, You know what? Just in case this is difficult to edit, I'll just say before you so rudely interrupted my loud doorbell going off because I got a package, you were saying new Banjo-Kazooie. The number one on my list is this, and I want to know. So we came. This was the one I thought that you might have as well as me.
Right, right.
Is a third yep. Banjo-Kazooie game. I want you. Let's have a competition that Ben will be the judge of for who wrote yep. down the better third title for Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't even. Well, is it the third or is it the fourth?
Nuts and Bolts, I reckon, is a side thing.
Yeah.
I think okay. if they were to do a new one, they would call it the third one. So it went Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, and then Bill Gates comes on stage crying because yeah. Melinda's still gone. And he says, everybody, we've got big news. Look forward this summer to what?
Banjo-Kazooie 3.
Exactly what I wrote yeah. down. It's a tie. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's a winner.
It's, I mean, it sounds dumb, but it's no worse. It's no worse than Tooie. Like,
because it was Banjo-Tooie, not Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah. It should have been, Banjo-Kazooie. Zoo 3.
Yeah.
That always really irked me that, like, I know when they internally they would have been calling it Banjo-Kazooie 2 and then at some right. point someone probably said that as a joke. But it always really irked me that they just got like one of the main characters' names out of the title. Mm. It always seemed a bit rough to me.
Yep.
Well, I think Banjo-Kazooie 3 would be a great name as well, because for a long time I had written down here Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. I would love a new Banjo, proper 3D platformer.
Yep.
That's what you're thinking.
I don't think that this is that insane, because like no. I said, when they were announced 2 years ago as being in Smash Brothers, people went nuts. I think Microsoft would have been taking a look at that. Yeah. And again, like, to go back to a lot of the kind of corporate ownership stuff that comes up in Jason Schreck's books, if you're Microsoft, you've had Rare for all this time and they seem to be getting very little for that investment. And I could understand Rare perhaps not wanting to do this, but if you're Microsoft, I reckon you're coming in and you're not giving them a lot of say. You're going like, we bought this great legacy studio that has all this goodwill for it and you haven't turned out any kind of game that's like the sort of thing that you used to make, that's what we bought you for. So,
because Rare, get fucking Rare currently, they're doing Sea of Thieves, mm-hmm. and people seem to like that game now. I played it for like a little bit and wasn't super into it, but people who are playing Sea of Thieves seem to think it's almost like No Man's Sky kind of thing, like kind of come along a long way. They've got, well, Rare making that other game with the like animals in the forest or whatever. There was some trailer. Do you remember that thing?
I remember that trailer, yeah. I don't remember what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Like polygonal looking animals. So they're working on mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So whether That's they'd right. have room for three. But I would love, because none of us really liked Yooka-Laylee, the first one, right?
Mm.
But
The first one was no good. The second one, that's a 2D platformer, I really enjoyed.
Right.
I think it's a lot better as a 2D game than a 3D one.
Right. I guess that doesn't bode well for doing another 3D Banjo, but the cat fucking mode of Super Mario 3D World, what was that called again? Mm. Bowser's Fury. That
yeah.
has
yeah.
totally reinvigorated my hunger for platformers earlier this year.
Right. Well, it's so an interesting totally thing, the idea of like a new Banjo-Kazooie being made, because if it's made by Rare, it would be being made by people who didn't really have anything to do with the original.
I guess so.
You know, it's not right. it's not the same team. So whether or not something could happen, I don't know how, yeah, I don't know how likely it is. And especially since if they're not going to make it, whether that means that Microsoft just have to release the rights back to whoever, Playtonic.
What? But they've been acquiring so many studios lately. Maybe they've got an announcement at E3 where, hey, we acquired these other people and we're getting them to make Banjo.
I did. That was my one thought. That's the one thought. If you were like the person in charge being like, how can we genuinely make the best version of this? I reckon that's what you would do.
Yeah.
Bring them back into the fold, give them the budget that they might need to make this really well.
Yeah.
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 And then you put a chip in every copy of Banjo-Kazoo 3, and then you can track everyone. That's their plan.
Banjo-Kazoo 3G.
Oh, fuck!
It's all there.
You can track him when they're playing Banjo-Kazooie. Oh, he's in his living room. We've got him.
Oh, he's on his phone because of the power of the X-Cloud. He's on a train. It all comes together. That's why they want you to do the fucking Game Pass. They know. Well, that's my turn as well. So, Ben, what did you have?
My next thing that... there's absolutely nothing to indicate this will happen, but Cardboard Computer, developers of Kentucky Route Zero, announce that they're making a new game. That
might be
my number one, honestly, if that was announced. Yep. Could be part of the PC gaming showcase, could be somewhere else. I don't give a fuck. I just want them to make another game because we all love Kentucky Route Zero. And they also grew so much as developers. I can just imagine their next game being fantastic. So, yeah, Cardboard Computer, shout outs to you guys. Please make another game.
Yeah, yeah. That would
be
great.
You better listen to Ben. If you don't do what he says, fuck off.
Yeah, I'll tell you to fucking suck off.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't,
how about you
and
suck
don't make
off
it...
Cardboard
Computer? How about you?
Because I would.
You guys suck off.
And don't make it episodic, because the only reason I thought Kentucky Route Zero worked as an episodic game was because I got onto it after all of the episodes
right.
had come out. Right. I don't want you to bring out a cool new thing and have to play it over 6 years.
How about cool, you guys?
Yeah. No, thank you.
How about you guys make a huge, fully complete, perfect game or suck off?
Just suck off! That's a good point. I don't want to wait 7 years. Hopefully they have the resources now, the clout, the backing to spend all of their time on making these games, because I assume this was like a part-time thing initially.
And I would think they wouldn't want to do it in that way again, for sure.
Maybe rather than episodic chapters of a complete game, I'd love to see just small... bite-sized kind of games from them even, and
sure,
make several
sure. Fully
of them
formed,
over
yeah,
the course of 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why not?
Yeah.
Because it's tough to make a video game, Jason.
Honestly, if these guys wanted to make a movie, I'd watch that, you know, like fucking, they're clearly genius writers, fantastic musicians. Cardboard Computer, making another game, that's one of my things, one of my top five.
Nice. Was,
yeah, Kentucky's so good. Okay, here's my next one. And look, this is not what I want to happen. This is what I think will happen.
Okay.
And this pains me to say, this goes against every sort of, you know, desire that I have.
Okay.
But I think when
they're
it comes to Nintendo,
they're
going to
give women the vote.
When it comes to Nintendo,
I can't believe that, Tommy.
No.
I can't believe you said that. And then I edited in so it seemed like you really said it. Sorry, when it comes to Nintendo.
No Switch Pro reveal. That's my prediction. We're not getting it.
That might be the most likely of everything we've said so far. I reckon that is 99% going to happen, because it probably would have happened by now. We're recording this the day before E3 starts and we've heard nothing except some new reports saying that it's not going to happen. So, like, they're rumors, but yeah, I reckon you could be spot on, Tommy.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about this off the air, but I was thinking about it during the week where after last episode, there was a lot of conjecture that it would be happening, the reveal of the console would be happening that week.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I thought about it, the more it seemed like, well, that kind of doesn't make sense, because for it to happen before E3, because what are you going to show on it? Like, there's, you know, you'd want to show it running a new game that looks to take advantage of that. But if they haven't announced, you know, if they haven't shown off any of those games yet, they can't have that happen in a trailer for the hardware. Like, it would just be kind of like undermining the reveal of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back and I read their press for their tweet announcing their direct presentation. And I completely missed this the first time around, but the word exclusively is in the tweet when they say focusing on software. They say focusing exclusively on software. So... Right. Yeah, again, I just don't I just don't think it's happening. Here's what I do think we'll get in their E3 Direct. I think we'll have a 15-minute deep dive on Mario Golf, which is out 10 days after the presentation.
Yeah.
I think there'll be an announcement of the Nintendo Switch Gold library of games, a lineup of some of the Switch's best-selling games re-released at a discount price so that they can finally start porting games from the Switch onto the Switch.
yep.
There'll be a tease of a new Mario Kart game, which is a free-to-play Battle Royale mode only.
Yes.
And the debut of a new trailer, a gameplay trailer for Breath of the Wild 2, but they don't show the trailer. They announced a $60 amiibo, which unlocks the Breath of the Wild trailer on your console. So that's what I think we're getting out of the Nintendo Direct in a week's time.
That sounds incredibly accurate. And I guess it turns out that if you have Stockholm Syndrome, one of the symptoms is knowing Stockholm back to front. You absolutely know all the alleyways, all the little nooks and crannies.
And I can't wait to be sitting up until 2 a.m. Melbourne time to watch all of this happen live.
Pre-ordering that $60 amiibo, first in line.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, because the more you think about it, like, yeah, there hasn't been news of a Switch Pro yet, but there has been news of electronic component shortages that we mentioned earlier. Like,
right.
Everyone's being impacted like that. And there are a couple of pretty hopeful seeming articles of like, here's why the Switch Pro wouldn't be affected. But like, it's a computer. It would be. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. That could definitely be true. Well, that kind of leads to my maybe... this one is a little boring, but it is something that I would like to see.
Mm.
I would love to see more old games come in a new consoles. I love the PS5 and the Series X. I think they're going to be around for ages. Mm-hmm. And the Switch and the Switch Pro that will happen probably one day, but maybe not this week. I would love to be I like the Nintendo Switch Online games. PS Now seems cool if you're in the US, but we don't have it here. I would love for every company to go in here. By the way, here's a ton of old games that you can now play on cloud stuff that is a full backlog of stuff you'd want to play and you get for $10 a month or whatever. Just it's the sort of service that I think a lot of people want. People are asking for backwards compatibility stuff. People seem to love it with Microsoft's thing. I would love to see companies just go a little... I mean, Sony's not even going to be there, so they won't do it. But no. I guess I'm saying put Ocarina of Time on the Switch. I guess that's ultimately what this boils down to. So I might have wasted a turn.
If anyone was going to do it and get me excited about it, it probably would be Sony. It would be the PlayStation Plus collection is now one step closer to being a Game Pass-like replacement. But instead of, you know, dropping the latest Sony first-party games on it, it is a virtual console, you know, backwards catalog of a bunch of cool shit that you can't easily buy anymore. But yeah, like you said, they're not going to be at E3, so it's not going to be them.
And they sort of have that with PS Now, but
yes.
I would just love for every company to, or for video games in general to find a good way that isn't piracy of letting old games be purchasable these days. And I know that legal rights and all that sort of stuff is very complicated, but this is fantasy world and there's some guy who comes on one of the stages and he's like, guess what? All video games are free now. I guess that's what I'm saying.
They're free.
You can play them all on the one thing
and they're
all free. fuck, I did waste that turn. All right, well, whatever.
No,
I'll be back again.
But we talk about this so much on this show since Microsoft announced Game Pass and maybe even before is that we are going to have a point where every company has basically their Netflix of games running on their console. Might 100%. Take 10 years. It is going to happen, and it would be cool to see a company like Nintendo that has – and they kind of have that already with the Switch Online stuff and the SNES, but just a company that has a legacy coming out and going, bang, here's our big announcement, $10 a month and you get everything.
All those things that are almost there, if they just took that extra little, they've done two out of the hop, you know that Olympic sport where you do a hop, skip and a jump? Triple jump.
Triple jump,
they've done two.
Yeah.
They've done two. You're nearly in the sand pit. Get in there and build the sand castle, which is, I assume, the ending of that sport.
Yep. You've done the hop, you've done the skip, but baby, it ain't nothing without the jump.
It's jumping time.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm really on board.
Yeah.
You could forgo the hop and the skip. if you just do the jump, that's fine.
If you did a big
but
enough
just
jump,
a skip by itself, nothing.
I think the judges will be like, you didn't do the hop or the skip, but you're like, look at the fucking size of that jump. And
well,
without a
long
skip,
jump,
I'm the best ever. Right, exactly. They'd be like,
but
you're
also,
in the wrong place. But you'd be like, yeah, but I'm still.
In terms of video games, Jumpman became Mario. Skipman and Hopman, where are they? Consigned to the trash heap of history.
Hey, I'll tell you where they are. Can I head you off at the pass and jump in with one of mine?
Oh, okay. If it's
and
a
then
good
Ben,
segue.
You do two.
Just because Hopman and Skipman would be right at home in the world of a game that I would love to see announced, a 3D platformer reboot, bring into a new generation, Capcom announcing a 3D new Mega Man.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that
3D.
Definitely won't happen.
3D Mega Man, 3D platformer. Okay.
They did a couple of 3D Mega Men or Megas Man, whatever the pluralization of Mega Man is.
Did they?
They did those ones on like the original PlayStation. There were Mega Man Legends, I reckon it was called. And I think that people like them now. You could make a 3D Mega Man.
I think Surely. Through playing Resident Evil and Monster Hunter quite recently, it's got me thinking about what a cool company Capcom is, and they've got so many great IPs and thinking like, yeah, that Mega Man, he's been sitting a bit dormant for a little while. If they made a truly like impressive visually next-gen 3D Mega Man platformer, if you did it right, it could be something really fucking cool. I reckon
Mega Man is a good IP, but I think my favorite intellectual property is Freely. You ever heard of that? I don't know a quicker way to say it. Do you know a quicker way to say it? Intellectual property Freely?
No, I can't think of like one if you personally.
Could, the Freely E-T-Prop series.
Freely?
That, no, you could shorten it even more, I think. I piss everywhere. All right, Ben, you do two now.
What do you got?
Okay, let's go with my one that's probably the most likely to happen out of what I got left. I reckon Square will have a Final Fantasy VII Remake 2 teaser.
Yes, that's one of mine as well.
Oh, nice.
I'd like to see it, and I think it's within the realms of possibility. But, you know, they just dropped Integrate and the DLC. People are thinking about it. They've also, like, they've already had something, like, in terms of their timeline, they've dropped some DLC, people have bought it, and they're not going to muck up the sort of, you know, people's planning processes by, you know, dropping this teaser now. I would love to see it. I really love this game, and as we discussed, I think, Nox, we did that spoiler-sealed section about the ending. I'm curious to see what the next one looks like.
Me too. Well, and now that they've got all of the sort of fixed and next generation-y kind of running PS5 version of it where they fixed the door, they did all of that shit, and there's the engine is clearly on its way to being, you know, the sort of one you'd want for a next-gen version of the game.
Right.
You're right. Maybe we could get a little stinger of like, I don't know, some bit from like the second portion of that game. I don't know what you'd choose your like train equivalent.
They showed off the first one originally with just a purely cinematic teaser, right? So it's not like you even necessarily have to have the game fully up and running to have something to show off of it.
That's
in
true.
That capacity.
Yep.
This is like, my prediction, Ben, was, we get a teaser for this and then the release date at the end of the trailer just says, hopefully sometime before the polar ice caps melt. And, and then it still misses that release date. Still gets delayed.
I hate it when games just put up a release date that they know they're not going to make. That's so annoying. Yeah, nice.
That's one.
How many more do you have left? Oh, yeah, Ben's got two goes.
Yeah, so I got two left, and one of them I will say now.
Cool.
This is the least likely because it's based on a pun. But I would love to see the people who made Disco Elysium make Discworld Elysium. If you have read those books, you would know that, especially the Night's Watch group of characters in Discworld, would fit perfectly into the style of game that Disco Elysium is, and the writing that they, like, you know, alcoholic, depressed, complicated, hopeful, intelligent characters in an interesting world is Disco Elysium. And Discworld has never had a good adaptation, whether it's TV, film, or video games. Like, the video game came out, like, that came out 30 years ago might have been good, but it's not something I'm playing today. I would love to see a Discworld game made by people who can make good sort of mystery character adventure games.
Yeah,
there was some point and clicks, I think. Be awesome if this was the only one of these that came true.
There were some point and clicks, I think, in the 90s that people liked, but I've never played them. And there was like an animated show that I remember liking as a kid. But yeah, so waking up drunk and acting more pork or whatever, be cool.
Totally. Yeah, that's the least likely to happen because, yeah, it's like, well, it's just based on the name. But fuck, I would love it. So yeah. Tommy, is it your turn now?
Oh, I think I've lost Ben. I can't hear Ben.
I can't hear you either, Ben.
What about now?
Oh man, the government knows about Discworld. They're trying to shut him down. If you're you'll still be in the recording, so we'll find out what you say later. But I can't hear a jack shit of what you're saying now.
All right, what about now?
Yeah, there you are.
That's better.
Birds flying over the Wi-Fi.
So you've got one more. I've got two more. Tommy, do you have one more? Two more?
I'm out of like big ones. I've just got like a kind of a list of just sort of smaller things that I'm interested to see more of. So
well, let me chuck in
big ones and then I'll rattle through them.
I'd love to see. There's rumors of it happening. There's rumors of it being a remake, but I'd love to see a new like Metal Gear Solid 6. Just keep it going. Give me a new Metal Gear Solid. Ooh. Maybe reboot it. Maybe. But I would love to just see it just fucking drive this thing even further. Fuck me up.
Wow.
Without the great man.
Yeah,
You're fine without the great man being involved. Wow.
Just you got to get someone in there who like meditates 3 hours a day trying to get into the head of Kojima just looking at a Playboy centerfold. And then but there's rumors of a new Metal Gear Solid. I hope that it's not just a remake because I think I'd be less interested in that, but like a reboot of it. I know I'm drawing kind of a thin line between what's what, but some kind of Metal Gear Solid thing, and for that to be good.
Okay,
give me that shit.
I don't think I have the faith that it would be good. You know, like I would like a good Metal Gear Solid 6, but I don't have the faith that if they do one, it will be any good.
Yeah, I'm sort of the opposite to you, Adam. I would be more interested in a remake because I've never played any of them, but I really enjoyed doing the Premium Bandcamp episode that we did where you went through all of them, and that kind of made me go, I'd love to play one of these older ones, like updated for more modern consoles. I have the sense that they would be more likely to do a better job of that than they would be to do a good job of a brand new one.
Well, let me chuck a part B onto this then.
A ground zero.
Because we also see Kojima's new game. Whatever they're working on now, that gets a little bit of a teaser.
Yeah, okay.
Again, now you're cinematic trailer. Off.
Yeah, cinematic Death Stranding style. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, doesn't need to have gameplay ready to show. Just a weird little 1 minute what the fuck is this short
film. Show me
film.
Some shit that doesn't make sense. Like I could get the same effect. I want to get the same effect by just loading up 6 random YouTube videos and watching 10 seconds of each. I want that to feel like watching this trailer is like.
Yep. I'm on board with that one. Absolutely. Well, look, I don't know how likely this one is. Given the fact that Anthem was recently, categorically no more support given to Anthem, maybe BioWare will go back to their roots, shift their focus, and we'll see a reveal that Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 3 is in development.
Okay. Ooh. I got good news for you, Ben.
Yeah.
Because from the press releases, Star Wars The Old Republic Online is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 3 through 7. I remember they said that at some point, that they were like, yeah, we've made 3. It was four expansions ago. We've made
no,
seven
but
now.
Really? A really one.
A real one?
Shitty,
all right.
Free online multiplayer game. A real, a third, or a new BioWare developed Star Wars single player story based game.
Sure. Because they're doing Mass Effect right now, right? But the Star Wars license, that went back open or something. So does EA still have the right to make Star Wars games?
Yeah, yeah, EA does.
But everyone else also does?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, give me that. Give me some of that.
Yeah.
Those original two are, I think, hold up. They are perfectly replayable now. Don't reboot it. Just do a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just like a modern day Star Wars setting. You know what I mean by modern day. Like a different Star Wars setting, but do another RPG there. Because like I enjoyed Fallen yes. Order. Star Wars stuff works better in video games than in the films.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Modern day Star Wars. Luke yeah. and the gang going and blowing up cancel culture.
Yeah. What if Seinfeld was still on the air today and also it was Star Wars? Luke gets a cell phone.
All right, do you want my just quick ones of things yeah. I'd like to see?
Yeah, because was yeah, that I your mean, last was... one, Ben?
Yeah, I think it was, yep.
Okay, cool. Well, Tommy, you do these and then I've got one bombshell.
Okay.
Right, okay, here's some rapid-fire stuff. Obviously, yeah, when it comes to Nintendo, yeah, I mean, I all the big ones, it's barely even worth saying, but, you know, we all know what we want to see out of them at this point, so that all goes without saying.
Miitopia 2.
More Amiibo.
I'd love to see whatever this Bethesda Indiana Jones thing is.
Oh.
You know, unless it's called Indy 76 and it's always online.
Tommy's written some little jokes for his
one. I know.
I like it.
That's
I like
very
this.
Good. Yeah. We should do these lists every week. Just pick a topic.
I'd like to see more of Deathloop, even though that's not out all that far away. I'm just interested to see more in it because I think it looks cool. It could be really good. The Wholesome Direct Indie Showcase sounds cool.
Yeah.
It's just a collection of indie games that they've deliberately positioned as like, hey, a lot of stuff at E3 is very like brash and loud, and this is just some kind of like chill little indie game experiences. And they've said that a couple of those are going to be launching like straight away. So I'm always into those sorts of games, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'd love to see Ubisoft come out with a Rabbids Mario sequel.
Oh, yes.
I think it is not completely insane to think that we might get our first little glimpse at GTA 6.
Oh, I think you are. That's insane.
Yeah.
Personally,
I will be in your 60s for that.
Yeah. Mario and Rabbids is the one thing that I didn't. Mario plus Rabbids 2 is the one thing I didn't have on my list because I thought you guys would. I'm glad you brought it up because I don't think that's a crazy prediction. I think that could actually happen.
No.
And yeah, that was a
I'd forgotten about
game.
That game, to be honest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I've seen a few.
It went so much better than everyone thought it would. So, yeah, there was the first one was great, and there's so much that they could expand on. Even just that little DLC was so cool. So, yeah, that would be awesome if that was in the works.
Agreed.
Great. Well, then the lights of E3 dim. Smoke fills the stage. What plays? Maybe like, I don't know, fucking Sandstorm. Who gives a shit? But
cool. Yep.
You know how Valve might, you hear these rumors that Valve might be making like their version of like a Switch, like a little handheld PC. Well, what launches alongside it, you sons of bitches?
Oh!
But finally, it actually happens. They enjoyed making Alex and they come out and they say, listen, everybody, it's here. It's fucking Team Fortress 3 or you know, Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
It could happen. We're living in a world where that's not crazy again. And I think this might be the year. Valve never says, hey, we're going to be at E3, but they did this
totally.
Year. And
so they're
going to
be,
reckon,
what, at the PC gaming showcase? I would
think
assume.
So, yeah. The rumor is that they've got some handheld, like a handheld PC that you would assume is mainly for
It's called a laptop, Adam.
It's called carrying a monitor around.
Yeah, carrying an iMac.
It's called this custom backpack I had made that holds my gaming rig. Apparently, which is what I call my body.
I would love to go to this place when we're allowed to. There's a place in Melbourne where you play VR and you wear a backpack that has a computer in it. So the VR rig is like really high-powered. That's not a prediction for E3. That's a reflection of real life, something I heard.
Well, maybe they might get up there and shout out a specific business in Melbourne. You never know.
That's true.
It might be. It's the sort of weird fucking thing they'd be like, guess what? Half-Life 3 is exclusive to that.
Yeah.
To this warehouse in Melbourne.
There's a Far Cry game that's exclusive to this. I don't know. It's not just the Melbourne chain of things. It's... Yeah, there are games that are exclusive to this, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
all right.
Valve handheld and Half-Life 3. Ah, that's pretty good.
What if?
That's pretty good.
What if?
We could
what if
be
you played Half-Life 3 on a little fucking Game Boy?
Yeah, we could be Ooh. Lording this prediction Ooh. as being correct in a week's time. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe not lording. But.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to whatever it is going to actually be. I think it's fun to have E3 back in some form. And I'm bracing myself to be underwhelmed by it, to be honest. I think COVID existed.
Yeah.
That's my belief. Mm. And it definitely has to have an impact on what people are ready to show. But it's fun anyway.
Yeah.
I'm in two minds. I could definitely see that being the case, but I also think when they just didn't do it last year and that all these companies have made the decision that it is worth doing.
Mm.
Yep.
Makes me think that they've been able to cobble something together, but yes, you're right. You've really got to temper your expectations with E3 at the best of times.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's wrap it up there for another week. Looking forward to watching all of them. Looking forward to chatting with you guys in the Discord and on Facebook if you're part of our Patreon group. If you go to filthycasuals.com.au, you can get our premium episodes on Bandcamp. You can sign up to our Patreon where you get a bonus episode every week and access to all that stuff to chat with us as we're watching this stuff over the weekend. We will see you next week for our big E3 wrap up.
You get the YouTube videos a week early too. And I think we're going to do next week maybe some more trailer stuff. We put up a video, Big Ben's trailer, where we watch trailers with Big Ben. And we'll probably do some of that stuff is how we'll do E3 things, is pick some stuff we want to watch and talk over it and put it on YouTube.
Yep.
Yep. As well as obviously, reflections on the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. We will see you guys next week. Have fun watching all the E3 stuff. And until then, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Ladies and gentlemen, we here at Rareware are very excited to announce 3 Joe Kazooie coming this Christmas to the Xbox, I guess.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.